there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, January 13th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
I'm so sorry, I've forgotten your name.
Why, I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. I've got a fantastic show in store for you. I'm delighted to inform you that I am launching yet another podcast series today. I call it the Sex Wisdom Podcast Series. Besides the wildly popular Sex Edge-ucation series and the Erotic Mind series that have been running for the past year and longer, I thought it would be grand to chat with some of the movers and shakers in the field of human sexuality. So in the course of this new series, we will be chatting with researchers, educators, clinicians, pundits, and philosophers who are making news and reshaping how we look at our sexual selves. I can assure you that these conversations will be well worth the time you spend with us.
That's so great! That's so weird, though. Isn't that weird?
No, nothing weird about it, actually. In fact, I have chosen a remarkable man as my first guest. His name is Shai Rodham. He is a certified surrogate partner, or a sex surrogate, if you prefer. And he's here to tell us all about the critical work he is doing with his clients. This is fascinating stuff, sex fans. Please stay tuned. Shai also invites you to learn more about surrogate partner therapy by visiting the International Professional Surrogate Association's website at surrogatetherapy.org.
Wow! Well, I can watch you work now!
Yeah, just step back so you don't get any on ya. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks who are looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh, so informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Okay, without further ado, on with the show. Welcome, Shai, and thank you for dropping by drdicksexadvice.com. I'm so glad to have this opportunity to pick your mind about a very important and interesting topic, the topic of sexual surrogacy. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm very happy to be your guest for today. I'm going to answer the questions and give you the information about surrogate partner therapy.
Great. So, first of all, I want to ask you about your name. It's such a wonderful name. What does it mean? I've never heard it before.
Oh, my name is Shai. It's spelled S-H-A-I,
uh-huh.
And it means gift in Hebrew.
Ah, excellent. Thank you for that. That's quite lovely. So you must be quite a gift.
My clients and my ex-clients are saying so.
Oh, good. So I suppose a really good place to begin our discussion is at the beginning. So let's see if we can come up with a working definition of a surrogate partner. Would you like to weigh in on what that means? What is a surrogate partner?
Sure. So surrogate partner is a temporary partner for the sake of the therapy. Back in the 1950s, Masters and Johnson realized that there's only 25% of success for clients without partners, whereas right. There were 95% of success for clients with partners. So they invented this, they trained and invented this type of therapy where there is a temporary partner for the sake of the therapy, and it's similar to couple therapy, Only in this case, the partner, the surrogate partner, is a trained partner.
Right.
And the relationship between the surrogate partner and the client will terminate sometimes in the end of the therapy.
Right.
And so, yeah.
So are all surrogate partners sex surrogates?
I would say yes.
Okay.
But there's a little comment about it. Not all of my clients need the whole thing.
Right.
Like,
right.
If we use a clear word, I don't have sex with all of them.
Yes. Yes, I understand that. So, we're going to pull this apart a little bit as we develop this conversation. At least that's my intention. So, good. So, one of the things that I can be sure of that is on the mind of some in our audience is, what is the difference between a sex surrogate and a prostitute? I mean, you've identified the fact that you at least temporarily present yourself as a partner, a sexual partner for somebody who is working through sexual difficulties. So that involves sex. So in some people's mind, they can't distinguish the subtleties, and so they would think, well, my goodness, this is just prostitution. Obviously, it is not, but can you...
Sure. Yeah.
Speak to that?
Uh-huh.
Good.
So one of the... There are many, many, many differences between the two jobs. I have a respect to sex providers and to prostitutes, but it's not surrogacy. And
right.
why? And
right.
why is that? Number one, a surrogate partner, a certified surrogate partner, would never work alone. It means that the client has to be in therapy. The
uh-huh.
client has to see psychotherapist or sex therapist once a week, and then see the surrogate partner once a week, and the surrogate partner and the therapist will talk before and after seeing the client. So they make a plan, a clinical
right.
plan for the client to help them.
Right.
That's number one. And like, I never met any prostitute that work in conjunction with sex therapist and talk with them and make a plan of seeing. And if we go into more details, explanation, each and every session with a client is very well planned with the sex therapist and the surrogate partner.
Yeah. So it's kind of like scripted. Would you say that?
Yeah.
Okay, good,
yeah.
good.
That's the first difference. And then, the prostitute's job is to give sexual pleasure to the client,
right.
get the money and go. There is no relationship
right.
between the two. It could be just one time occasion, sexual occasion, and that's it. Whereas with a surrogate partner, it doesn't matter if it's a male surrogate or female surrogate, there is a relationship. There is
right.
a buildup of communication, and it varies between 3 months to 3 years of therapy.
So the object when you're working with a client is not necessarily, to instill sexual pleasure, but that you are part of instruction. You are part of the therapeutic team that is working with your client. Yes?
Exactly.
Cool.
And actually, the majority of my clients are more interested and focused on learning how to give pleasure to their partners, whereas with, in sexual encounter with prostitute, the client doesn't care about the prostitute or the sex provider. They just
right.
want to get off and go.
That's right. Right. Good. So one of the reasons that I'm so interested in speaking with you about this topic is because I've been working with surrogates for many years. In fact, when my practice was in San Francisco before I moved here to Seattle, I actually helped train several surrogates, and the place where I looked for a potential surrogate trainees was in sex workers, because they already had a natural facility with working with different people in terms of sexuality, and you know, they knew their way around. And a lot of sex workers were really on the front lines of like safe sex education and stuff with their clients, so they were naturally kind of poised for, you know, developing a skill of becoming a co-therapist with me, with my clients. Do you see that as a possibility as well?
Yeah, I do see this possibility, and I know few candidates and some colleagues that, you know, they started from this area of sex providing, and,
yes,
and then they realize that it's boring, and they want to give more. They want
to
contribute more, and they want to make changes in their client's life. And, right, you know, I talked with a few of them, and most of them said, you know, like many of my clients doesn't care about the intercourse. They just want to get some love and feel,
yes,
you know, feel some warm and cuddle with,
yes,
me. So I was thinking to change, to make the change.
Right.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, I want to go back to the previous question and just add one more thing. That's about the law. You know,
right,
when we, the International Professional Surrogates Association and all, you know, the members, when we've been asked this question about the differences and if it's legal,
right,
et cetera, so the law criteria is about the intention.
Right.
So the intention with the prostitution is you pay money to get sex, and that's illegal. That's correct. It's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the law. But here in surrogacy, the client pays money for therapy.
That's right.
That's summarizes.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you know, for some people, you know, that's a very fine line. And regardless if it's a fine line or not a fine line, it's an important line. And I think that we'd be well served to keep that in the forward of our mind while we continue this conversation. So, do you consider yourself a sex worker or a therapist, or is that splitting hairs?
I never thought I would consider myself a sex worker,
because uh-huh,
it's far, far away from that. You,
yes,
know, I'm a clinician.
Yes.
I'm a certified surrogate partner since 1997, and I also a mind and body therapist.
Excellent.
So, yeah, so there is no association between those.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to, again, you know, delve a little bit deeper in that in a bit, too, in terms of your education and training and whatever. So who can benefit from the services of a sex surrogate?
Many, many people. So let's list them.
Okay.
Late virgins, people who are, you know, feeling that they're because I like to put it into ages. You know, there are some 25-year-old virgin and some 45-year-old virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And the common thing between them is they're pretty sensitive people. You know,
mm-hmm,
and they need someone to take them hand in hand and build their relationship in a safe space in order to be sexually involved.
Right.
So we call them late virgin or people with shyness.
Yes.
Another group is the people who are having anxieties and fears around the other gender. And it's hard for them to initiate any contact, any relationship,
right,
with the partner. And then as a male surrogate, I've been working successfully with the women with vaginismus, which is a uncontrolled spasms of the vaginal opening muscle.
Uh-huh.
They cannot insert finger, they can't insert tampon, and they need someone in safe space to teach them how to breathe and how to relax their body and mind and relax their pelvic floor muscles. And in the successful cases, we work in conjunction with the physical therapist too.
Wow, so interesting.
Yeah. And and again, with women, I used to work with the women with the vulvodynia, vestibulitis, and dyspareunia.
Uh-huh.
So they're all under the, you know, the DSM. If our listeners know what the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistic Manual of the Psychology, and they're all under pain disorders.
Right.
Any person with pain disorder could benefit from working with surrogate partner.
Right. Do you see that body image, a client's body image, plays a big part in terms of either, you know, being a late virgin or anxiety with regard to, you know, other sex relationships?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I had a client in the past who was 30-year-old virgin, and the gynecologist who diagnosed her said that she's got vaginismus, and we had the therapy for 4 months together with a sex therapist, and working week by week, every week, one session, and everything was easy and cool with her. There was only one time when we had a challenge, when, you know, we planned a session and she had to take her bra off. And she needed three sessions. She wanted to stay with her bra for another three sessions. And then after quite a time, she said, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to take it off.
Uh-huh.
Then when she took it off, she was so embarrassed. And, you know, she said, it's hard for me. And I was asking, why? Why is it so difficult for you? And she said, you know, because my breasts are not symmetric. They're not
empty.
One is bigger than the other one. And I said, you know, 100% of the women like that. And you want my input because I saw one or two breasts in my life.
Yeah.
And I believe it. And it turns out that was the problem. That was the reason actually why this woman never created any relationship with men because of her body image issue. And that's because of this information.
Yeah. And, you know, in the mind of some people, these things can become, you know, mountainous. You know, these little molehills can become mountainous. You know, that, you know, my asymmetrical breasts, or, you know, my small penis, or, you know, that I have one testicle, or what. I mean, there's just millions of them, you know, where most people wouldn't even notice unless you called attention to it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it looms so large in their mind, and, you know, it even gets past, you know, like performance anxiety, and goes way into, you know, this pathology of, you know, just being unable to have any kind of intimate connection with other people. Mm-hmm. One of the other concerns that I have, or one area that I thought I would ask you to weigh in, is the idea of religious scruples and how those things tend to impact on one's ability to be sexual, or having a sense of freedom about his or her sexuality. Have you encountered that?
I don't really understand the question. You mean people who are having a coming from Puritan houses, or
well people who, you know, have very strong backgrounds in religious backgrounds, repressive religious backgrounds,
yeah.
You know, that were that denied sexuality, and, you know, denied the body, and denied all kinds of things. We see this in, you know, Judeo-Christian religious experiences a lot, and I see this a lot in my own private practice, where people come to me and, you know, say, you know, I learned this when I was a kid in grade school and, you know, the nuns taught me this, or I learned it in, you know, religious school and Protestantism, or I learned it in, you know, Judaism, and, you know, how could, you know, how can I overcome this kind of thing?
Yeah, so it depends, you know, if they find a partner and they are in relationship, they don't need surrogate partner.
Right.
They have a partner, they're going to face, some of them going to face a sexual problem, but
that's
they have
right.
a partner they can go to a couple therapy with.
Yes, but if they don't have a partner, and the reason they don't have a partner is because of this repressive religiosity, that's where you would come in, yes?
Yeah, so I have a big group of women with vaginismus who are coming to therapy because of holding those tough beliefs,
yes,
with a tough religion background,
right.
So it manifests in the body,
yes.
And actually, one of my ex-clients was married.
Ah.
She was married and stayed virgin because of her vaginismus. She could never insert even a Q-tip,
wow.
And that's. Actually, the way we work is the COGB, cognitive behavioral.
Yes, exactly and, that.
And big portion of the work is to change the attitudes in their mind.
Right.
And to let go of fears and conditions and social conditions and mind conditions. Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
If we go back a little bit to your previous question, there's another group of people who are coming to therapy, and those the people who are not sure about sexual orientation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, some women, you know, they for some reason they only knew how to create relationship with women,
mm-hmm.
And they realize that something is missing, and at some point they think, oh, I wanna try, see how it is to create a relationship with men.
Right.
But they want to do it in a safe space.
Right.
Because it's difficult for them.
Yes.
There's some fears and anxieties around it, and so they can come over to a surrogate therapy to explore that.
Yes. Well, it certainly makes a great deal of sense because, I mean, you can hardly go up to, you know, somebody, a friend even, or somebody you meet in a bar and say, you know, I'm really interested in investigating one thing or another, you know, but I only want you to be, you know, to be here, you know, for a short period of time, and then I want you to disappear. I mean, that's not how you build relationships. But, you know, if it's the relationship is a surrogate relationship where, you know, everybody is confident and clear about what the agenda is, then, you know, that's a completely different story.
Yeah, and there's another group of clients, those women that have been molested or sexually abused or being
threatened,
and they need to overcome big trauma or major trust issues with men.
Right.
Yeah.
So could we let's go through some of those examples, like vaginismus or sexual trauma, can you talk about what it is that you do with a client? Let's start out with the like a sexual trauma client. I mean, how do you approach them? What kinds of things do you do with a client?
Yeah, so the classical way we start the therapy is that the client is already in therapy, or they get into the therapy and create a relationship with their sex therapist or psychotherapist first, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they see them, and until they're ready for seeing me, some of them need 2, 3, 4 sessions.
Right.
Other need a year or 2 years of therapy in order to be ready just to have a cup of coffee with me.
I know. Seriously.
When they are ready, when they are ready to reduce the anxiety, I join them to the psychotherapist or sex therapist office.
Oh, interesting. Good.
3-way meeting.
Uh-huh.
So the client, she's very familiar with the office. she feels safe because the sex therapist is there, and we sit and talk, and I answer all their questions and give them all the information they need in order to get into the therapy. And then if they need one more, we can have another three-way meeting.
Right.
And when they feel ready, we can have the next meeting in my office.
Right.
And then we learn how to communicate, how to talk. Just sit and talk
uh-huh.
with them and create rapport and trust and safe space.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the next session would be, again, talking and sharing. And then when she's ready, we can start touching from the, for example, from the fingertips
right.
to the wrist and explore this part of the body for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sessions until she's ready.
Right.
And then we can move to touch, you know, from the fingertips to the elbow, and then from the fingertips to the shoulder. So it's a very slow pace.
Mm-hmm.
And if the client feels, you know, at some point she feels not very safe or she want to go back, we can always go back to what we experienced in the last session.
Right, so right.
That reduces the chances of failure for her.
So, and the touch is mutual, yes, would you say? You are experimenting with touching her, you know, in, again, very safe and secure in environment, and she is experimenting touching you. In the same, starting with fingertips, hands, forearms.
It's not something as spontaneous that we just do as a couple. It's well planned, and we use a sensate focus technique.
That's right.
Where we have a time frame for every exercise, and we know she knows where she goes to, and she knows what's to expect.
Right.
What to expect in the session.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, we are creating everything to make her feel safe, and everything is predictable.
Mm-hmm.
That reduces fears.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
But she knows, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but she knows, your client knows that the agenda is to get over, you know, the sexual barriers that she is experiencing in her life. Yes.
The client, you know, there's the presented problem, okay?
Uh-huh.
So if one of my, I had a client maybe 5, 6 years ago, all she knew to create with men was sexual relationships. She started to have sex in the age of 11.
Wow, no kidding.
Had
interesting.
Sex parties with the kids from her classroom. And
yes.
And with men and women, and she never had a friend, a male friend.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So the presenting problem was, I cannot create relationship, non-sexual friendship
right.
relationship with men, and I want to learn that.
Right.
That was our guidance system, and that's where we go.
How and, interesting.
Yeah, so we created the whole course of therapy according to her presenting problem. So in other cases where the clients want to overcome sexual trauma or just trauma, or want to learn how to be a better partner or learn how to create relationship with men, that's what we do.
Right.
We create relationship, and sex is part of the relationship. Sex is, you know, there are emotions involved, there's the body involved, so it's something holistic.
Right. So there's no program that you plug every person into and then just get them on their way. Each and every one of your interventions are crafted for the individual client.
Exactly, exactly.
Right, right.
There's no two identical courses, journeys
right.
with any client.
Yes. So can we talk a little bit about then, can we talk about your interaction with the verbal therapist? You're the hands-on therapist. Your client also has a verbal therapist that you're working with. How frequently do you involve yourself with the verbal therapist to check in, you know, to report what's going on, whatever?
Yeah. So we talk before and after every session with the client. It means if I saw the client, okay, the last, I saw the client.
Yes.
And the client is going to see the therapist tomorrow, I'm going to call the therapist today.
Right.
And inform him or her about what we had in the session. Mm-hmm. So I will in very details I will explain, okay, so as planned we had the sensitive focus, we explored the hands and shoulders and the back side of the body.
Right.
And I would say, for example, she feels safe and it was more difficult for her to be the active party than the passive party.
Oh, interesting.
Or I would give some information to the therapist like it was easier for her when we turn off the lights.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was easier for her to keep off of the eye contact. The eye contact was a big difficult for her.
Right.
Big difficulty for her. And then when the sex therapist would work with the client, when they meet, they will work through my report and my input.
Right.
And then they can go into deeper level of intimacy and eye contact and what it means for her to be active and what it means to be passive.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of my clients, she was sexually abused and it was very, very difficult for her to be the active party.
Mm-hmm.
To be active in the session. Mm-hmm. And that was because when she was molested, the men who abused her used to force her to be the active party.
Oh, interesting. How interesting.
That was even more difficult for her than being the passive party.
Right. And you uncovered that. I mean, she didn't come right out and say that, I assume, right?
No, it just came you know, through
right.
the journey.
Yes.
As we were exploring, and
yes.
At first she was almost paralyzed when she had to take the turn of the active party.
Right.
Yeah. So this input is very important for the sex therapist to work.
My goodness.
Uh-huh.
I'm so glad that we are having this conversation. You know, one of the things, the really difficult things about doing sex therapy here in Washington, in Seattle, is that there are no sex surrogates up here that I'm aware of, and you know, I think that I would work very well with a sex surrogate if I had one available to me. And the same thing was, you know, when I was working in San Francisco back in the 80s, the reason I trained surrogates, you know, the people I worked with for hands-on therapy, was because I couldn't find, you know, other trained surrogates. So I'm certainly glad that you're there. I'm certainly glad that you're doing this work, and I'm certainly glad that you are discussing it with us. However, our time is up for today, and I have so many more questions for you.
Uh-huh.
Can I invite you back for next week?
I would love to talk again this week.
Thank you. Oh, yay. Oh, good, good, good. So, but before we go, could you give us the website address of the international...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So for more information about surrogate work and referrals, you can go on www.surrogatetherapy.org, O-R-G.
Right.
And that's the IPSA. IPSA is the International Professional Surrogate Association.
Right.
And you can find information about the training, and if you need referral or to locate a surrogate partner in your country or city, just go online on this website.
Terrific.
So
thank you again.
Surrogatetherapy.org.
Thank you again for your time. And in between now and next week when you join us, we will be looking on the IPSA site. Thanks, Jai.
Pleasure. Great pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. What a great show, huh? Tune in next week for part two of my interview with Shai Rodham and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
I'm sorry, I must ask you to leave immediately. I'm so sorry.
Well, hold on there, big fella. I'm almost finished. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. Remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh?
Come on, you know. You knew the minute I walked in here. I want you.
You're really trying to get me in trouble. Well, I won't fall for it, I tell you. I won't. Be sure to look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously, under Health, subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.